Partly cloudy on Sunday night with a low of 30. For Monday, partly sunny skies, a chance of showers in the morning. Showers are likely as well in the afternoon with a high of 48 degrees. Rain likely Monday night, a chance of rain or snow after midnight with a low of 28 degrees. Partly sunny Tuesday, the high around 32. Tuesday night and Wednesday, partly cloudy, the low 18, the high 32 degrees. Temperatures around the area right now, looking over at Indianapolis, we've got 38 degrees. Around central Illinois, we've got 30 in Bloomington, and Danville 31, Decatur 32 degrees. At Willard Airport, 32 degrees, and on Friends Plaza in Urbana, 31.
What would Isaac Newton be like if he were alive today? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at a new play that reimagines Newton. Then Catherine Bowden tells us how she came to terms with losing her hearing. It's an invisible disability affecting 50 million Americans. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
Weekday afternoons at 1 on AM 580.
It's 1241. Same-sex couples with an eye on marriage got a Valentine from the Illinois Senate yesterday. 33 Democrats and one Republican voted to legalize gay marriage. Brian Mackey has more.
The supporters and opponents of same-sex marriage couldn't even agree on what they were debating. Supporters say it's a civil rights battle, guaranteeing equal treatment under the law, regardless of sexual orientation. But opponents see a threat to religion and a definition of marriage that's been around for millennia.
It is a strike at the heart of a fundamental societal institution.
Senator Bill Hayne from Alton is one of a handful of Democrats who opposes gay marriage. He was the only one to speak against it in debate. Hayne quoted from several religious tracts, including one that says there are other limits on who can and cannot get married.
Polygamists, bigamists, those who wish to marry brothers, sisters, etc.
Hayne went on to directly challenge the idea that, when it comes to marriage, gay rights are civil rights.
It is not analogous to the civil rights struggle, which was waged by people of faith.
That question of faith came up a lot among Republicans. Roman Catholic bishops in particular have been vocal about their opposition to same-sex marriage, and Senator Kyle McCarter from Lebanon pointed to the example of Catholic Charities. The group lost its state contract to manage adoptions when it refused to place kids with couples who had gotten civil unions.
This is a discriminatory bill. People have the right to live as they choose. They don't have the right to redefine marriage for all of us.
McCarter says businesses, faced with the prospect of having to serve gay couples lest they be accused of discrimination, might simply close up shop.
Bed and breakfasts, florists, all those that are wedding related will be affected. They will choose to, most of them, dissolve their businesses. That's what's happened in other states.
That argument drew audible groans of disbelief from Democrats.
I don't get out to the movies very often, and I just watched Lincoln. And for the love of God, I feel like I'm sitting in 1865.
Senator Willie Delgado is from Chicago.
Gay and lesbian communities, LGBTQ, continue to be second class under our current laws.
Delgado was not the only Democrat to frame same-sex marriage as a matter of civil rights. Senator Kwame Raoul is from Chicago. He's also black.
You know, there was a time when, for counting purposes, I would only be considered three-fifths of a man. But we've knocked down that wall.
Raoul, like other Democrats, also says the arguments about religious freedom are a red herring.
We can continue to worship as we personally wish to worship, and the heads of our respective religious institutions will be allowed to dictate what goes on under the roof of their house of worship.
In the end, that argument prevailed. The final vote was 34 to 21.
Senate Bill 10, having received the required constitutional majority, is declared passed.
The vote was mostly along partisan lines, though one Republican did back same-sex marriage, Senator Jason Berrickman from Bloomington. He says last-minute changes to the legislation satisfied his concerns about religious freedom.
I believe that the people of Illinois want our government to give individuals freedom over their life decisions.
But he was the only Republican who was convinced. The same-sex marriage legislation still has to pass the Illinois House, where Democratic Representative Greg Harris from Chicago says he's optimistic about its chances.
this is an idea whose time has come. You've got business leaders, you have faith leaders, you have political leaders of both parties who are supporting this. I think we are about to make a very positive change for tens of thousands of Illinois families.
Harris says he has no idea when it might come up for a vote in the Illinois House. If it does get through that chamber, Governor Pat Quinn has already said he'll sign it into law. Illinois would become the 10th state to recognize same-sex marriage. I'm Brian Mackey.
State Senator Kirk Dillard says Illinois' unfunded pension liabilities are affecting both state government and the state's business climate. That's why the Hinsdale Republican says pension reform should be the top priority in Springfield. Dillard, a one-time chief of staff for former Governor Jim Edgar, came to the University of Illinois Urbana campus this week to talk to business students. Dillard told Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows that both the General Assembly and Governor Pat Quinn share responsibility for the state's business climate and therefore should be dealing with pension reform before anything else.
It is primarily the governor's responsibility to lead the state, but the legislature certainly has a hand in reforming our state's pension system so that we're not squeezing out other state services with our $17 million of additional interest a day. And we all, legislators and the governor, need to improve our business climate. So it's both. Government, as the CEO of Caterpillar Tractor in Peoria has said for months, the government has a direct relationship in terms of private sector job creation.
What's the best approach to address the pension problem?
We need to, and if I were the governor, I would lock every leader and the Chicago business community who's been at the forefront of pension reform. You lock them in the governor's mansion and you don't let them out until there is a solution. I've just thought that Governor Quinn has not taken the bull by the horns, so to speak. He's been the governor for 4 years. He's never presented us a pension plan of his own. And you need to lock everybody together and say no one is coming out. Bring the Jimmy John sandwiches in every now and then and feed them. But nobody comes out until there is a solution we're going to vote on. There's nothing more important in Illinois to our private sector job creation or the financial future of the state than pension reform. It's $17 million a day in extra interest. Pension reform is the thing we should immediately tackle because it's just stifling job creation and really hurting every other facet of public finance in Illinois.
I heard Senate President Cullerton talking about a plan, in fact, talking about a plan and an alternate plan, which he said incorporated Republican proposals. Have you looked at that, and does it look like anything to start with?
As long as Senate President Cullerton's plan actually works, I will vote for it. I voted for a plan that affected my own General Assembly pension system and that of state regular employees that would work, and it needs to be expanded to university employees as well as public school teachers to financially get this state over the hump. We have $100 billion-plus in unfunded pension liabilities, and actuarially the plan's got to work. But I'll vote for whatever they put up on the board that actuarially works.
Do you expect any proposal on pensions to end up in court?
No matter what we pass, it's going to end up in court. So we need to make sure that it's constitutional. But I believe we can do that. There are multiple varieties of legal opinions on it. But, it's going to be litigated. But I believe that what we draft will be upheld by our court system.
Republican State Senator Kirk Dillard talking about pension reform with Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows. Dillard ran for the GOP nomination for governor in 2010, losing by less than 200 votes to State Senator Bill Brady. Dillard says he's exploring another run for governor in 2014.
Support for WILL comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 15th of February, 2013. It's the birthday of Galileo, Galileo Galilei, born in Pisa, Italy, 1564. It was Copernicus who suggested that it was the sun and not the earth that was at the center of the solar system. But Galileo defended that theory called heliocentrism and got in trouble with the Pope for all his trouble. It's the birthday of Susan B. Anthony, Adams, Massachusetts, 1820, one of the leaders of the women's suffrage movement. It's the birthday of the cartoonist Art Spiegelman, born in Stockholm, 1948, grew up in Queens, New York, his parents Holocaust survivors. They hoped he'd go into a profession like dentistry, but he loved cartooning. Went to college, dropped out to work full-time for Topps Candy as a designer and cartoonist. Worked for Topps for more than 20 years. He married a French graphic designer named François Mouly, and together they started the magazine Raw, comics for adults. And it was in Raw that Spiegelman wrote a comic strip based on his father's experiences in Poland during the Holocaust, a strip called Maus, in which he depicted the Jews as mice, the Nazis as cats, and the Poles as pigs. It came out in two volumes, My Father Bleeds History and Here My Troubles Began. He and his wife also edited several books of fairy tale comics for children called Little Lit, including work by Neil Gaiman, Paul Auster, and David Sedaris. And it's the birthday of the writer and artist Miranda July, born in Barre, Vermont, 1974. A performance artist who sang with an indie rock group called The Need, wrote, directed, acted in a film called You and Me and Everyone We Know, and wrote a book of short stories, No One Belongs Here, More Than You. Here's a poem for today by Patricia Kirkpatrick, entitled Odessa, for J.S. I drove through Sacred Heart and Montevideo over the Chippewa River all the way to Madison. When I stopped, walked into grass, blue stem, wild rose, a monarch. I was afraid at first. Birds I couldn't identify might have been bobolinks, non-breeding plumage. I'm always afraid of what might show up suddenly, what might hide. At dusk, I saw the start of low plateaus, plains, really, even when planted, almost to the Dakota border. I was struck by the isolation and abiding loneliness, yet somehow thrilled. Alone, hardly another car on the road, and in town, just a few teenagers wearing high school sweatshirts, walking and laughing on the edge of a world they don't know.